Hello, Sendai!
外国語情報番組多言語放送局の時間です。この番組は仙台観光国際協会センティアが英語、中国語、韓国語、優しい日本語の4言語で毎月トピックを変えて情報をお伝えしています。今日の担当はアイルランド出身のイーライと
カナダ出身のテシアです。
今月のテーマは年末年始の過ごし方です。 Hello and welcome to Hello Sendai. Every month we broadcast seasonal topics and information to you from Sendia in English, Chinese, Korean and Easy Japanese. My name is Eli and I'm from Ireland.
And my name is Tesha and I'm from Canada.
Our topic for today is ways to spend New Year's. So we're now in December and the end of the year is approaching. Japanese is rich in vocabulary to describe the New Year with words such as 年末, 年の瀬, or 歳末. However, the way that the New Year's period is spent in Japan may be quite different to how it is for everyone in their home countries. And so today we'll be talking about the various ways to spend New Year's. I'd like if we could all look back on the year that is just finishing up and talk a little about how we will be welcoming in the New Year. So 2023 is almost over. First, I'd like to ask, how was your 2023, Tesha?
I'll say it's like quite a mixed bag. Like, I think career-wise, I would have liked to done more. So my original plan was to take more, you know, Japanese and proficiency tests. I was planning to take the business Japanese test, but then I just never got the motivation to actually go do it. But on a, I guess, more personal note, I think I managed to go to quite a few places this year. So I actually went to 13 different prefectures in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, over the past year. So I've been able to explore some more niche places that I've never been to before. And that is something, again, it's not really an achievement, but it's like a personal goal that I'm pretty happy with. Yeah, cool. What about you, Eli?
I've had a pretty relaxed year, I think.
Oh, really? Even like though you moved to Japan?
Yeah, I suppose the first half of my year was pretty relaxed.
Okay.
The second half has been quite chaotic. But because I took a year out after I finished college last year, so I spent up until, was it February this year in Taiwan? So I was there mainly just to kind of improve my Chinese and stuff. And I'm really glad I did that. That's kind of one of the things I'm really glad about doing in the last year. But then after that, I was very much just kind of loafing about at home for a good few months. So I had a nice relaxed time before entering wider society. So coming to Japan was a kind of a big transition from that. So there's been a lot of stuff, you know, I've been struggling to get used to. Just kind of the day-to-day responsibilities of, you know, being a fully functioning adult, which I'm still not entirely used to yet.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions, so to say, then, in regards to perhaps like living here in Japan? Is there anything that you'd like to try doing?
I think the big thing is always I want to get my Japanese better.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a constant one. I think every year I'm probably going to be saying that.
Right.
I suppose like as well, like a big thing that's been a huge focus since coming here as well and going into the new year as well is kind of like I want to solidify, like, you know, when you come to a new area and you're completely new to it, you kind of want to, you know, meet new people, get your kind of circle of friends and stuff, right?
Yeah,
get your network kind of set. So I kind of want to solidify the friendships I've already made and kind of make new ones. It's kind of the direction I'd like to head.
Yeah, that's a pretty good goal to have, I say.
Do you have any like personal kind of resolutions for the new year?
I would like to be more physically active. Like for the past, I want to say half a year or so, I've really try to, you know, get some exercise in whenever possible, because I feel like when you work at an office job, you're kind of stuck in one position for, what, 8 hours a day?
Yeah.
And that really does a number on like your physical health. And I would really hope to be able to get at least like 30 minutes worth of exercise in every single day for like 2024. So I think that's a personal goal that I'll say is my New Year's resolution for now.
Is there anything specifically kind of during the New Year's period that you think you're going to be doing? Like, is there any kind of yearly traditions you have or your family has? Or
So my family are like, my parents are from Hong Kong. So usually for like the Western New Year, so to say, we don't really do much, but for like Lunar New Year, we definitely have the thing where, you know, you clean on the Lunar New Year's Eve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so to get like the bad luck out, essentially, to get the dirty old things from the past year to like leave your life and you can start anew, essentially. It's the entire concept. And also in my family, we also do ancestor worshiping. So we have an altar in our house with, you know, everyone who has died in the past. And so it's like a three-level altar. The middle tier is for our ancestors, people who once lived on Earth. The top tier is for, like, you know, Buddha and all the deities who live on heaven. And the bottom tier, it's for, they call it Todei Gong, so it's like a jizo, like in Japanese, you know, those little bold, like, dudes with like a little hat and like sometimes scarf. Yeah, it's basically the same thing. It's a deity that looks over, that like protects the land that you live on.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so during New Year's, we'll give them special offerings. So usually they might get some, you know, incense, but we'll put actual food in the altar. It's like, like eat up, you know, like bless us and give us a good year, essentially.
I've always been curious, what happens to the food in the altar?
Oh, you eat it.
Okay, so you leave it for like a few days and then at the end you...
Oh, not even a few days. So you usually you get out some gold plates or like those worshipping specified plates. You cut up some food, you put it on there, and then you do the worshipping ritual, which is you like basically you talk to your ancestors for a bit. Okay. And you're like, you report on what you did in the past year. Like in my case, I just like talk to my grandparents. I'm like, hi, grandma. So you like kind of sit down and you reflect together as like a family what your past year was like and how you'd like to improve, essentially. Okay. And after that, you, again, as a family, you sit down and you eat the food that was like offered to the ancestor. Yeah, because you're a family and you share food.
So. Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so we don't waste the food. Don't worry about that. What about you, Eli? Is there anything like your New Year's that you and your family maybe do every single year?
My family have never really been big on ceremony. So I mean, it's like, of course, when it comes to this time of year in Ireland, it's all about Christmas. And my family, we put up the decorations really early and we take them down very late. So it still very much feels like Christmas well into January for us. But traditionally, like, I know a lot of people around me in Ireland, like, they would have, they have January the 6th as, like, the decided date where they take everything down. And they kind of like, okay, it's the end of the festive season. We're now back to real life. But, they call it Nollag the Man in Irish, but it means Little Woman's Christmas. And traditionally, it is, like, now it's quite an outdated tradition if you think about gender equality and stuff. But basically, it's traditionally when the woman gets a break from all the household chores during the festive season, cooking, all that kind of stuff, so they get a day for themselves. And then the men stay at home and they clean up everything. So they clean up all the decorations, they cook food and stuff. So even now in Ireland, that's continued as a tradition, especially in the south, where the women still kind of have it as their little kind of day out. So you have like these like group bookings of like, you know, the moms and all their friends and stuff. They all go out and they all go out for like a pint or two in the evening and they have their own little Christmas.
So I
think it's a sweet tradition. But like my family, because they have like, you know, Canadian roots, like we don't have a lot of those traditions in our own house. So most of our New Year's are just kind of spend at home watching whatever the TV show is where they're gonna have the fireworks on the television. And we watch the fireworks on the television because we're too far away to see real fireworks.
Oh, okay, I see.
And then we all go to bed. So it's very chill. Like it's like we usually have a fire going and we'll be chatting. Like it's not really ceremonious, but it's nice that like we do gather for it. There's some other traditions that other people have where they throw bread at doors. And I think they open the front door and they open the back door as to kind of let the good spirits in, the old kind of bad spirits from the previous year out. But I do remember the first time I was studying in Japan, I came here and there was some other exchange students from Ireland as well. And one of them, their family did the whole bread thing. So I have to say it was really, really fun. Like when it hit 12 o'clock midnight on New Year's, we all got bread and we just like threw it at a wall. I think we were meant to kind of like expel our regrets or something into the bread, you know. But I was just having fun throwing bread. It was something you don't really get to do usually.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's a bit strange. And it's a lot more wasteful than, I guess, the altar thing. We don't eat the bread after, so.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah, but that's reminding me a bit of, you know, Setsubun. That in February in Japan, because the entire concept, I guess, is similar. Like, you want the bed to go out and, like, to get the fortune in. I just think it's interesting how, you know, even though Japan and Ireland are so far away from each other, that, you know, like, I think the human mind, at the end of the day, they just come to like similar conclusions about wanting the bad things to like kind of get left behind or leave your house.
I like how they both kind of manifested that throwing food. It's like, how did we get there, you know?
Yeah, I think beans are a lot harder to clean up though, I'm going to be honest.
Yes, that is true.
I have a friend who, her family runs a shrine, so they do sentiment every single year, and she was like, 6 months after the fact, you'll still find beans everywhere, behind your sofa, behind like the altar, behind the saisenbaku.
Yeah, I'm grateful it's not beans, so...
Fair enough. Bread's a lot easier to spot, I'll say.
That's true. I mean, there's crumbs, but, you know, you can deal with that with a Hoover, so...
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Do you have any kind of, like, I suppose, stories from since coming here to Japan? Like, was there anything different you did this year because you were here?
Yeah, so this year was, 2023 was the first New Year that I spent in Japan. Mm-hmm. And it's probably also the first New Year that I spent alone, away from family, I'd say.
Okay.
So it's like, it's my first New Year's in Japan. I want to do something that's more culturally Japanese. So I made toshikoshi soba, and I also went to the shrine. I did like Hazumode, and I also went to Sendai Hatsuri last year because I knew that Sendai was very, very famous for this yearly tradition, which on the 2nd of January every year, there will be a big fukubukuro sale. So fukubukuro is basically mystery bags. So fukubukuro mystery bags are where you pay a sum of money and they'll give you a bag and they don't tell you what's inside. The excitement comes from like not only spending money but also from not knowing what you spent your money on. Some fukubukuros are like cheap, you know, 500 yen, 1,000 yen, and some are insanely expensive, like gomanin.
The only thing about those bags though as well is like, I feel like as the price goes up for them, I feel like the risk increases. Because if it's something you don't like at the end of the day, if you spend 1,000 yen, you're like, whatever, you know, it's 1,000 yen. But if you spend like 10,000, it's like, I actually don't like the color of this. Like, you're kind of screwed in that case, right?
I mean, people kind of just resell things that they don't need.
Okay.
And they only keep the stuff that they want, so you know, they're getting parts of the money back. So will you be going to Hatsuri this year?
I probably will. I feel like now that I'm in Sendai, I feel like, you know, I couldn't not go. So it'll definitely be on the list, I think, coming up. Because I haven't really planned what I'll be doing for this kind of New Year's period yet. Because we do get a few, you know, days of holiday.
Right.
I was considering going to Taiwan and visiting some friends that I had there. Yeah. Like, it was interesting, even myself, like this year, the start of this year, I spent, of course, Western New Year in Taiwan. And because of it's not a huge traditional thing there, they of course still celebrate it, but they don't have like a lot of the ceremonies. It's just kind of like a countdown. So remember, I went out with friends, and we went out to this big park where there was like thousands of people gathered, and this huge stage. And it was basically like a free concert, and it was really fun. It was kind of like a festival kind of atmosphere. When the countdown happened, the music they chose to play in the background, and I don't think they got the permission to play it, but it was the Pirates of the Caribbean theme song.
Why?
So I opened this year to the soundtrack of Pirates of the Caribbean, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it definitely left an impression.
I mean, if you like the films, it's probably...
It's a good song. It's catchy, so it'll never leave my head. To finish up, we have an announcement from Sentia. Sentia is currently recruiting participants for the Multilingual Disaster Volunteer Training Workshop. Participation in the workshop is free. In this workshop, you will learn tips on and examples of how to support foreign residents during a disaster, as well as exchange information with other participants. The workshop will be held on Sunday the 21st of January from 10 to 12:30 a.m. on the third floor of the Sendai International Center Conference Building. Anyone that is registered as a multilingual disaster volunteer or foreign resident disaster prevention leader, as well as anyone that has an interest in providing support for residents during disasters, can apply. Registration is required to participate. Please see the Sentia website for more details. And that's all from us this month. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.